50 years ago tomorrow, the astronauts of Apollo 8 saw something that no one else had ever seen before. As the spacecraft rounded the moon, they caught the first ever glimpse of the Earth coming out of the moon's shadow. You may have seen the picture, it's incredibly famous. It's called Earthrise. Awed by the sight, the crew finished their broadcast, taking turns reading from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I've been fortunate enough to have been to some wonderful places in my life, but if money were no object, I would love to go into space. I'd love to see the Earth from a distance, to see the Milky Way, uncluttered by the light from streetlights and buildings. Maybe even to walk on the moon. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Anyone fancy joining me? One or two? Most of you think I'm completely nuts, but there we go. James Irwin, the lunar module pilot from Apollo 15, who has walked on the moon, he was the eighth person, said this though. A man walking on the moon is incredible, but God walking on the earth was far greater. At that first Christmas, the shepherds came down from the hills. Mary and Joseph travelled the 90 miles or so from Nazareth to Bethlehem. The wise men travelled maybe even for months or even years to reach Jesus. But the person who travelled the furthest distance was Jesus, because he came down to earth from heaven. And of course, it didn't stop there. Jesus plunged deeper still. In Jesus, God became man. The creator of the universe became a baby. The ruler of the world became poor. The one who was worshipped by angels was rejected by those he had made. And the one who is the source of life was put to death on a cross. When Jesus came down to earth from heaven, he travelled further than anyone has ever gone before. And that is hugely significant for us. See, because of Jesus, God knows what it is like to be human, to live in a world where pain and suffering and death are a reality. Because of Jesus, God knows what it's like to live in the chaos and the mess and the dirt of everyday life. The false gods of other religions may be distant and disconnected, but not the God of the Bible. He came down to earth from heaven. And when he came down, he came all the way down. Those picture postcard scenes that you may have had on your Christmas cards, showing Bethlehem or the stable in first century life in the Middle East, hide all the turmoil that was really going on. Jesus was born into an oppressed culture, a culture desperate to throw off foreign rule, where their own government had limited powers, where the parties concerned couldn't agree on the right way to deal with the situation. I wonder if any of that sounds familiar. And Jesus came down into all that. And you have to ask yourself, why, don't you? Why? Why on earth did he do that? What was the purpose? Well, it's Christmas. Many of us will be receiving and giving gifts. So let me tell you about three of the gifts that Jesus came to bring. And the first is love. We see that answer in the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. It was love that brought Jesus down to earth from heaven. Love for the lost and the lonely. Love for the hurting and the stressed. Love for the disappointed and the broken and the dying. And in his love, Jesus came to stand in our shoes and to die in our place, that he might offer us perfect peace and lasting joy and unending love and a future so glorious that when we grasp it, it transforms our present. It was love that brought Jesus down. And right from his very birth, Jesus showed that love. His first visitors, shepherds, were social outcasts. The most well-travelled, the magi, were unclean foreigners from a distant land. Of course, those in authority didn't want anyone to rock the boat. They wanted him dealt with, got rid of, once and for all. But to everyone who came to see the child, he was a beacon of light and life and love. And of course, as Jesus moves into adulthood, that continues, doesn't it? Through words of love and acts of power, he fed the hungry, gave sight to the blind, healed the sick, raised the dead, washed the guilty clean. Jesus offered his unconditional love to anyone who would accept him. And as he ended his life, arms outstretched on a Roman cross, he even offered love and mercy and forgiveness to those who had put him there. That is love in action. But of course, his death wasn't a tragic, romantic gesture. Even that had a great purpose. Jesus' death made a way for our sins and failings to be forgiven, for that giant chasm that separates sinful human beings from a holy God to be bridged once and for all. And he did that out of love. No one else in history has loved like that. It's an unconditional, never giving up, always and forever love. And through his mighty resurrection, Jesus offers that love to you tonight, if you'll have him. To a world where many are frantically searching for love and acceptance, seeking affirmation and praise to top up waning levels of self-esteem, Jesus comes alongside us and says, "Listen, I know exactly what you're like. I know your worst moments, your darkest thoughts. I know your fears and your dreams, your failings. And despite all that, I love you. Now, when you come back and join the family?" That's the love of Jesus. That's God's great Christmas gift to you today. Don't you want to be loved like that? You are. You are. And if you come to Jesus, you can experience that love in deep measure from now through eternity. Love, that's the first gift. But there's more. Because as well as love, the God who came to earth from heaven also offers us peace. Peace within, peace with others, and peace with God. These days it's easy to get overwhelmed, isn't it, by the storms of life, buried by fears, frantic with worry. Global warming, Brexit, health concerns, fears for our economy and our livelihoods all cause us to worry for ourselves and for our children and our grandchildren. The world is too big. It's too dangerous. We can't stop bad things happening. Have peace within? How can we unless we close our eyes to the mess and the chaos of the world? And if that isn't bad enough, then there are all those other people who make life just a little bit harder than it needs to be. That annoying neighbour. That pushy boss. That slow checkout operator when you're in a hurry. That boy or girl racer who cuts you up. Why is it that other people are so flippin' annoying? And that's before you get onto your family. How many of us aren't speaking to someone because of a feud that maybe goes back years? How many of us are on barely speaking terms with our neighbours? How many of us have been badly wounded or hurt by people we loved and trusted? People who broke their promises and broke our hearts. Peace within, peace with others can seem like a pipe dream. And if we are brutally honest about our own failings and weaknesses, peace with God can seem out of reach too. After all, why would he want anything to do with people like us? But the message the angels brought to the shepherds was one of peace to those on whom God's favour rests. Those who respond to the love God offers us in Jesus are adopted into God's family. He knows all about our skeletons in those closets. He knows all about our failings, but they have been dealt with on the cross when we put our trust in Jesus. And those forgiven by God have peace with God. And as part of his family, we are loved by God with the same love that God the Father has for the Son throughout all eternity. And bit by bit, that peace between us and God begins like a good virus, if you like, to infect every other area of our lives too. Knowing we have peace with God for all eternity means that circumstances no longer overwhelm us because our future is in God's hands. We know God loves us and that he promises to use even the worst of circumstances for our good and for his glory. For the Christian whose hope is in God and whose future is in God's eternal kingdom, there is nothing on earth that can shake us. And strange as it may seem, the peace of God also begins to bring us peace in our relationships with other people. Falling out is always a two-way business, isn't it? But having been forgiven, it's easier to forgive. Having been loved, it's easier to love. Having been shown mercy, it's easier to show mercy. The peace of God, peace God offers, transforms our lives, transforms our families, and bit by bit, it can even transform our world. That's the peace God offers. But there's one more gift I want to mention tonight. The God who came to earth from heaven also offers us joy. Birth of a child is always joyful, isn't it? However grumpy or miserable you are feeling, it's hard to keep feeling like that when that tiny hand reaches out and grabs hold of your finger and will not let it go. But the joy Jesus offers isn't schmaltzy and sugar-coated like that. It's there in the storm as well as in the moonlight with the music. You see, joy isn't the same as happiness. If I'm honest, my level of happiness changes depending on how much chocolate I've eaten, or how much I've slept the night before, or how many goals Luton have scored on the previous Saturday. I'm pretty happy at the moment. And if I have a headache or a toothache or a stiff back, then my happiness levels plummet quite quickly. So Jesus doesn't promise us happiness, because happiness is related to our circumstances, and circumstances in this life, even for the Christian, are just as painful and difficult and desperately sad as they are for everyone else. No, Jesus offers joy. Joy is that unshakable feeling that everything is okay despite the weather, despite the problems with your neighbours, despite the hassle at work. Joy is something deep down that will not change. For the Christian, joy is about knowing the value of the treasure that we have through faith in Jesus, and the treasure we will have in God's eternal kingdom. And it's an unshakable joy because we are utterly confident that those things will not fail, and Jesus will not fail to deliver. You see, Jesus' promises come with an eternal lifetime guarantee. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is the source of all life, who has overcome the grave. Happiness can be knocked off course by the latest news report, or the latest hospital visit, or the latest repair bill for the car. Happiness is temporary. But joy in Jesus goes on forever. And the amazing thing is that he offers that love, that peace, and that joy to you and to me. You may not have recognized it. You may still be unsure. But the gift you have been waiting for your whole life, the one thing you really want, the one you really need, is Jesus. And he is yours if you'll have him. You see, the love and the peace and the joy that God offers come wrapped up in human flesh. God doesn't dish them out like sweeties to those who have been good this year. They come as part of the package when we welcome Jesus in. So as I round up, let me ask you, is there room around your table this Christmas for the one whose birth you're celebrating? Is there room in your life for the one who gave you life, who sustains your life, and who stands there now ready to offer you his love and peace and joy that will last forever? He is the one you are searching for. So please don't settle for anything less. Of course, when you let Jesus in, he will want to take control. He will want to change your priorities and perfect your character. He'll want to shape your ambitions and impact your relationships. But if you have felt his love, if you have tasted his forgiveness, if you've begun to understand something of his peace and joy, then you will want to let him. Why wouldn't you? He's promised life in all its fullness to all who come. A couple of weeks ago, Virgin Galactic announced that they'll soon be offering tourist flights into space at some point in the next year or two. Not sure if Vicar's stipend was going to swing for that. But it would be amazing. Soaring it above the atmosphere, seeing the Earth from space, would be quite a journey. Maybe even one day they'll lose stop-offs on the moon, no doubt with some trashy gift shop there trying to sell you all the I've been to the moon t-shirts or fake bits of moon rock. That would be an astonishing journey. But the greatest journey of all took place on that first Christmas when Jesus came down to earth and made his dwelling among us. It was a journey that took Jesus down to the depths of humanity that ended up costing him his life. But it won for us peace with God, everlasting joy, and a limitless love that transforms our todays and all our tomorrows. He has come down to you. Will you come to him? May God bless you and your families this Christmas. Amen.